Our next speaker for today, Maulana Junaid Hashim, who is a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib. Maulana Junaid is also involved in the work of Deen and Tazkiya extensively. And the topic that Maulana is going to touch on today is a very important one, because many people are unaware of it or also have misconceptions.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected مشايخ علماء الكرام, Allah's brothers and friends in Islam. As in the introduction, it had been mentioned that what is Khatme Khajgan? To many of us, probably this is the first time we heard this term, which is known as Khatme Khajgan. In simple, I will analyze it. Khatam here means a regular practice. Khajgan is the plural for Khaja, which is a spiritual guide, which is a peer or a sheikh. In simple, Khatme Khajgan here, the exact meaning or explanation is that particular practice from which we follow from our spiritual guide in order to grant or to gain success. This is what Khatme Khajgan is all about. As far as the permissibility of this khatam, if we search and page through the books of ahadith, we will not come across this particular khatam or this particular ritual. This is not a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, many a times a question is raised, then is this not a bidah? Is it not an innovation? In simple, there are many ways, alhamdulillah, we can clarify this. In reality, during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, once he called his companions and said, come with all your riqayas. That means in the time of ignorance, it was a custom as well that people would recite certain words and blow for prosperity, for good health, or for the well-being of one another. Like today, you read certain surahs or ayahs and you blow in water or blow on your hands and rub it over your body. Now, in the time of ignorance, this practice was also rife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these respected words or whatever it is from it. He decided and determined that if in this particular riqiyah, there is any doubt of the words of kufr and shirk and shaitan, then he abstained or he commanded the people to abstain from such type of recitals of those words. But if there were good kalimats, there were good words from which there was good meaning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the permission to continue with it. So this shows, although it was not manqul, it wasn't from hadith, it wasn't the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't the ayahs of the Holy Quran, because it was good meaning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed the sahaba. Similarly, we take one incident, a famous incident in Ibn Kathir, we will learn that there was a particular group of sahaba that were traveling, and when they were camped, it so happened that in that particular area, a tribe was living there, from which the men had to go for some work, and the leader stayed behind, the chief of the tribe, and he was bitten by a poisonous snake. So they came running to the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and one person says, is there anybody amongst you that can come and cure our leader or our chief? Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu opted, and he says, yes, I will come. And when he went there, he recited something and he blew on this particular chief, and through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was cured. When they got to Medina Tayyiba, he explained this incident to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, oh Abu Sa'id, what did you recite? He says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I read Surah Al-Fatiha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how do you know that the effect of Surah Al-Fatiha will cure that particular person? He says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had explained and highlighted so much virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha that I did not have a single iota of doubt that that will not help. That is why I had so much yaqeen that it will aid and assist that particular chief. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave consent. That means at that time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not know, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, did not know the virtues, nor was he told or explained to anyone that read Surah Al-Fatiha and blow. He did it out of his own intellect, that the virtues that was attached to Surah Al-Fatiha, it will benefit that particular chief. So from this we see, alhamdulillah, that in this particular khatam, there's only two things that are recited. The main thing is a dua, which is manqul from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a surah from the Holy Quran. Later on we will discuss. The third aspect of Khatm-e Khajgan, then when is it its origination? More than 8 centuries back, Hazrat Khaja Mu'inuddin Chisti, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, after being given through a vision which he saw in his dream by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he should leave Afghanistan and come towards Ajmer. It was there when he initiated this Khatm-e Khajgan in that particular area. But he did not initiate the beginning of the Khatam. In that area he initiated it. Prior to him, the Mashayikh already commenced. According to many, it is from the family, the Sabari family. So this is more than 8 centuries back. And alhamdulillah, from then onwards, we see the practice of this particular Khatam has been now evident and forecast and so much emphasis was placed that if you go back in all the khanqas virtually, alhamdulillah, amongst the khanqai amals, this particular ritual takes place. In Thana Bhawan, in Raipur, in Saharanpur, in Darul Uloom Joban, then we see even abroad, alhamdulillah, now we see it is rife in our country, in South Africa, many masajids in the month of Ramadan as well, and all many of the khanqas that are here that has been established, alhamdulillah, the khatam of Khatm-e Khajgan takes place. In fact, in the 1860s, when the British were ruling over Bar-e-Saghir, that was India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, we know the British made a lot of zulm upon the Muslims because the greatest threat to the throne and the empire was Islam. So in regard with this, what they did, the first thing they attacked was the ulama-i haq. They started killing them in the thousands. The how many thousand ulama became shaheed. And because of this, it was in Darul Uloom Joban and Mazahir Uloom Saharanpur that we see, alhamdulillah, they started the Khatm-e Khajgan in order for the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims on the whole from the kuffar. This was it. And from there on, alhamdulillah, for many a years from then until now, this khatam still takes place. And those mashayikh that have emphasized the importance of Khatm-e Khajgan were the foremost, they were in the foremost and in the front line to fight any bidat. They did not allow any bidat. But yet, they placed lots of emphasis in this particular khatam itself. That is the third aspect. The fourth aspect, what is the virtues of Khatm-e Khajgan? They are numerous. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahumullahu ta'ala in his kitab Diyaul Qulub makes mention that if there's a gathering and this particular khatam takes place, it will inshallah through the barakat of this khatam get rid of the calamities of that community. And or not only get rid of it, it will safeguard that community from the forthcoming calamities as well. So this is one particular virtue. The second virtue from this we learn, according to Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahumullahu ta'ala, that any dua that is made after the khatam will be accepted. In fact, many of his close associates, when they should advise and write to Hazrat for special duas and request him for special duas, he would in turn reply and says, alhamdulillah, we had made dua for you after the Khatm-e Khajgan. That emphasized the importance of the acceptance of dua after the khatam.